G'day everyone, it is Thursday, August 18, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Still don't know where the grand final is, but we've got a great game of footy tonight. Souths up against Penrith, a core stadium block will be in here just after 7 o'clock this morning to preview round 23 in the NRL. And Pup, we've had an interesting 24 hours. I walked into a tree, you walked into a pole.
Yeah, morning, Middo, Loz, listeners. Yeah, I was going for a walk yesterday afternoon, enjoying the sunshine, had the headphones in. I was also writing an email and bang, straight into a no standing sign for me. Took it on.
It's a wonder Chicken Chow didn't see.
Yeah, I was wondering I didn't get photographed doing it. That's when you want the paparazzi for something like that. Yeah, the pole's still standing. Good, I didn't fall over, thank God, but look around, hope no one saw you and play on. What did you hit? A tree.
Yeah, well, jogging to the gym, actually. Straight into a tree.
A branch or a tree?
No, it was a branch.
Hanging down.
Yeah. But, you know, you just keep going. You don't look around to see if anyone saw it. No. Just head down, keep going.
You definitely don't act like it hurt. That's for sure. You don't rub it.
What are you shaking your head at?
How's your day, Loz? Did you go to the gym? What did you do yesterday?
Now you're testing me, Pup.
Good memory.
Don't know. Just trying to think. I didn't do too much. I did go to the gym. And then I went home and I sat out the back and sunned myself.
Mm. Good weather, wasn't it?
So it was perfect weather.
I think the forecast the entire week, well, Jamie would have just read the weather then, I didn't hear, but I reckon the weather's pretty good for this
week. Yeah, I think it's pretty good for the next few days.
22 today.
But it's going to be raining for the next 6 months, apparently.
Oh, yeah, you can leave that bit out. Let's just stay in this week. Let's just look at 22 degrees
today. Stay in the
today.
Moment, yeah. So it should be good. So yeah. I'll probably do the same thing. I'll have a bit of a rest this afternoon, I think.
What, nap? Siesta?
I think I might.
What are your thoughts on the afternoon siesta?
In this job, it's no good for you.
Yeah, I can't go to sleep that. If I sleep during the day, I can't go
can't
back
sleep
to
at
sleep
night.
At
no,
night.
I'm the same. But because I go on the Matty John show, I feel like I need one today. So I'll probably do that. And then, I don't know, get ready for the footy tonight. Looking forward to seeing Souths play Penrith.
Who you like?
I like Souths, but...
Panthers B, isn't it, really? They've got so many important players.
Yeah, I'd just wait and see. If Liam Martin plays, it might be a bit of a difference. They've still got a decent forward pack, although Fisher-Harris being out, it's a
massive
big blow for
them. I reckon, yeah.
And Souths, that confidence with Latrell being back, Campbell Graham being back. So possibly, yep. Yeah, possibly South.
If Latrell doesn't play, I'm not believing anything ever again. Because everyone's saying he's playing.
No, he's in.
Everyone.
Well, he finished the captain's run yesterday, so he'll be right.
And, mate, he walked off a training field. Like, mate, he can do that if he's got a sore big toe. Like, just because...
Groin. Can't muck around with groins.
What are you talking about, mate? He's just... You feel something. It's a training session.
Feel something.
Get on the couch.
Short turnaround.
Mate, he'll be fine. Like, everyone thinks, oh... Mate, you walk off the training field, he's broken something. No, he's just got a tiny niggle. It takes a day to recover. Get on with it. Physio, doctor, rehab, get into it.
Well, you had a lot of hamstring troubles, as did I.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how your body starts to play tricks with you. I don't know whether you ever went through this, but all of a sudden you'd do something and you'd always feel or think you felt your hemi maybe having a twinge. And there was nothing wrong with it, but it was just your head. Thinking
you felt something, a lot of the time with my back and hamstrings, obviously they are related, but a lot of the time if my back was stiff or I had a bulging disc or something like that, that was when I was at most risk of tearing a hamstring. So anytime, you know, an area my hammies or my glutes had to work harder because my back wasn't right, that's when I was at, you know, maximum risk. So that's why, you know, strength in all those areas, doing your rehab, doing your recovery, trying to get your body as close to 100% before you play a game was the challenge for me.
And the issue with that is that because you know what your body then feels like at 100%, if it's not, or you notice it.
You learn so much about your own body.
And then your mind starts to play tricks with you, thinking, oh, geez, is my hemi okay? And you'd go into some games thinking, oh, I wonder if it's my hemi. And the physio and the trainers would be so much, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know, the other
there'd
thing
be nothing
you do,
wrong with that. And you'd be still trying to battle that demon inside your head.
You know, like, let's say you wake up in the morning and you've got a sore left calf. So then you start walking differently. What that does is put pressure on you know, the right side of your body. So for someone like Luttrell, even like a tiny little groin niggle or quad strain or whatever, it could all be related to that hamstring problem that he's had. So again, you'd like to think, you know, certainly playing a sport like rugby league where you're flogging yourself day in, day out, that not only the people around you, as in your doctors, your physios, strength and conditioning, but you yourself, you know your body better than anyone, and you learn, you know, what that feeling could be or how bad that is. And that's why I think you hear a lot of people talk about, as the player gets a bit older, generally the major decisions around does he play, does she play, do they take the field, are they 100%, is dictated by the athlete, by the player. So yes, all the experts will, you know, you have to do a fitness test, or, you know, they'll sit down and have that tough conversation with you, but the player is the one that knows their body better than anyone. Same thing, you can go for a scan, you can see a fracture, but I know people that have had, you know, ribs, for example, a broken rib versus a bruised rib. Sometimes a bruised rib can be more painful than a break.
Or rib cartilage damage.
Exactly right. And you can play with certain, like, yeah. Other people, some players can play with more pain than others as well. Some players are happy to take medication or get a cortisone injection. Some players aren't. So I think that's where the communication and the trust, you know, needs to be put back into the player to a certain extent. There's certainly been times through my career where physio or doctor had to make the decision for me, or tell me on certain occasions, even if I disagreed, but they, you know, they didn't want to go that way. They didn't want to take that risk. But you'd like to think generally with a player that has been around for a long time, knows their body pretty well, that there's a bit of communication both ways. So I would imagine if Luttrell is saying he's ready to go, I reckon they'll play him.
The market with Tab, the Bunnies are firmed and their favourites $1.65 into $1.55 and Penrith $2.25 back to $2.45. I want to read a good news story, fellas, in regards to Aussie Cam Smith, the golfer, who, look, there's someone in the city, I'm not even going to mention his name, a columnist in the Herald.
No, tell us the name.
Honestly.
Tell me and I'll say.
I don't even want the name mentioned on this program.
Who's been smashing Cameron
Smith? Oh, about if he joins the Live Tour and, you know, how it taints him. And anyway, and he's written multiple columns on him now. But anyway, last week.
Is he married?
Yep.
To Lisa?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay, I know you're talking about.
Last week, Cameron Smith at the St. Jude Championship, so one of his drives, errant drive, hit a spectator. It's hit the spectator in sort of the thumb and smashed his phone.
Oh, no.
The spectator.
Oh, okay.
Phone in the hand. So Smith goes down, gets his details, gives him a signed glove, sends him a brand new phone the next day.
Legend. Legend.
What a legend.
Good on him.
He can afford it.
Especially if he goes to the Live Tour. He can buy a few more than one. Nah, that's what I'm, again, this is why I don't, it's so hard for me to comprehend why or how this guy's reputation or image or brand can change. He comes across like one of the nicest guys on the planet. Now, if he decides to go to the Live Tour or he doesn't, it should be irrelevant. He's still the same dude. Mm. He's still a great bloke. He's still a great golfer. I hate how we do that in this country. You know, as soon as there's a hint of him, he's going for the money. Mate, tell me someone that's not going for $200 million thrown in your face. Doesn't change his personality. Doesn't change him being a great bloke. But, why do we jump off someone? You know, he's doing nothing wrong. I love him. I'm a massive supporter of him. That doesn't surprise me that he does that, because he comes across exactly like that.
Yep. Put his the cell number, as they call in the States, in his yardage book. Ordered him a new phone. Sent it to him. Outstanding. Great stuff, Cam Smith. Now, you talk about the good weather, Loz, and gee, I'll tell you what, I'm pumped for Saturday, Randwick. I'm back. I'm back as far as the racing's concerned. The Group 1 Winx Stakes on Saturday, field of 11. Enemo got barrier 1 yesterday, and accordingly, just got out in the market a bit, 260 back to 280. Forbidden Love, barrier 10, 6 into $4.80. Mwanga barrier 2, 6 just back to $6.50. Now, I'll be down there at the back somewhere, and Fangirl barrier 9, $8. Now, I'm looking at Fangirl because Hugh Bowman had the choice, really. He's ridden Fangirl, rode it to the Vinery Group 1 win, and he's ridden Forbidden Love. I think two Group 1 wins he's ridden Forbidden Love on, and he's chosen Fangirl.
Yeah, well, that's an indication, I suppose, that you think that he's a better chance first up, or he may be looking further on, or further down the line in terms of bigger races to come. So you just don't know, but all these horses are fantastic. Well, should be in for a good spring, but what a race to start with. I mean, all those horses that you mentioned, Enemo, are people going to jump in at what, $2.70, $2.75?
Cox Plate runner-up, many say it should have won it.
You know, yeah, you got Ice Bath, $26. You know, you got horses like Profondo, you've got Benno. Horses that people think will have big springs that are decent prices. You know, I think it's going to be a wonderful race, and obviously they're not fully wound up yet, but whatever they do, they'll improve off. Hmm. But it's just good to see all the big guns now starting to come out to play.
And by the way, Bay Eid, this superstar over there in the UK, unbeaten, made it 10 out of 10. A devastating performance overnight. It stepped up in trip in the Judd Monty International Stakes there at York. Had 9 wins over the mile, but stepped up to 10 furlongs. Faced it a stack of group winners and victory. So at the moment, it's laying claim to be the best horse in the world, this Bay Eid. The Newcastle Knights never far away from the papers at the moment, are they? It's a loo blow on the back page of the Telegraph. Players Union hits out over drug tests for toilet drama. So the Players Association not happy. And it's Chief Executive Clint Newton describing the drug testing of Caelan Ponga and Kurt Mann as a breach of confidence and irrefutable abuse of the process set out in the NRL's illicit drug testing policy. The testing's supposed to be confidential, apparently, and according to the Rugby League Players Association, they've been banging on for the policy to be reviewed. Now, the results, by the way, of these tests, well, they're not going to be known publicly. The only way, as we mentioned yesterday, that I guess we'll find out is if it is a second offence against a player, and that incurs a 12-week suspension. So when you see a player, one of those two players, if they weren't appearing on the team sheet at the start of next season for multiple weeks, you can make your own assumptions.
Well, if they've done nothing wrong, they've got nothing to worry about. Mm. So, the drug testers are there.
They're already testing him 3 days after the event as well. So,
yeah.
If they've taken what... Well,
look, you've got no dramas.
A lot of it's out of their system anyway.
If you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, the players, claim they've done nothing wrong. So,
well, they shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're happy to have the test.
You
actually want the results to be made public.
Yeah, exactly right. You want to go, say, you know what? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. And please make the results public.
Please make them public.
Yeah, that's what you'd want if you've done nothing wrong.
Look, Clint Newton's doing his job as boss of the RLPA, no doubt about it. But I can completely understand the NRL, because it's gone to the integrity unit, that the integrity unit sends people up there to do the tests. I can understand that. Mm. Isn't that what you do in an investigation?
My only issue with that, because, again, I'm only going back to when I played. The rules may have changed. I didn't think they could target test. The clubs can target test, but I thought the governing body couldn't target test.
So change the rule.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't read the policy.
I remember when we used to have the drug test, if the club did it, they could come and say, mate, we're going to drug test you. But if Asada or someone turned up, they couldn't target test you. They had to pull your name out of a hat. So they put everyone's name in a hat and then they pull your names out. You had to be there.
It's the same thing. This is not about them finding out if they've taken drugs on that night. Because that's what I'm saying. They're testing 3 days after the event.
Yeah.
Right? You test the day after, the day of or the day after, because generally substances will stay in your system for at least 24 hours.
The footage. They didn't know until
a couple
of days later.
But again, if this is about finding out if there's drugs in their system, you've got a hair test, because that'll give you 6 month leeway of what's in your system. a blood test, if it's cocaine, for example, yeah, it'll be out of their system in 24 hours. Yeah. So even this, I feel like it's a bit token.
They probably can't. Know?
No, of course they can't. That's what the Players Association is saying. Hang on. Yeah. We've got an agreement, which we actually want to sit down and fix anyway. But yeah, even in our current agreement, yeah, they're saying this is unacceptable what they've done. This is completely target tested.
But if I've done nothing wrong, I'm saying bring it on.
Yes. If you're the two players and you've done nothing wrong, well, if you're the two players knowing it's three days after the event, you're probably saying, you know what? I can't wait for the drug test. I'd love to have the drug test. And can you please make it public? Because, you know, even if you have done something wrong, you're going to be cleared. It's going to be good for your reputation.
But re-emphasising, you know, the players say they've done nothing wrong. Yeah. So, and as
Law
said,
worry about.
Yeah, nothing to worry
yeah
about.
Yeah.
Here we go. So we move on. Also, the back page.
We solved it. That's yeah it. Done nothing wrong. Don't worry.
And even if you have the results, it's not going to come out anyway. So play on.
NRLW season launched yesterday. Absolutely raring to go. Kezzy Apps there and Holly Wheeler, a couple of the Dragons players. And they, of course, were beaten in the grand final by the Roosters in the previous season that finished in April. We spoke to Isabel Kelly of the Roosters yesterday. And it all kicks off this weekend. And the grand final is the same day as the men, Sunday, October 2. And they've got four new teams coming in the NRLW next season. We'll speak to Adam Pengilly of the Herald, of course, later this morning. He was at the launch there yesterday as well. And in the Herald today, Pengilly has co-written an article under the headline, WA in the mix to grab more games from Sydney. So WA, the government there, say that they want to host another doubleheader there at Optus Stadium. They did when the stadium was first opened back in 2018, and they're looking at round one, or perhaps in that July-August window next year when Sydney venues are unavailable due to the FIFA Women's World Cup, using a lot of those venues here at the time, and proactive stuff from the WA government. They're probably looking at the cold feet the NRL is getting at the moment with the New South Wales government and thinking, well, we got this big shiny stadium, we can host grand finals, we can host more Origins, we would love to have an NRL team here.
And they're
so
minus,
let's get on the front foot.
And they're minus already, by the way, they carried on through COVID. They missed so many events through there. So, of course, they're going to be chasing every dollar possible now to make up for it. A lot of money to build a stadium like that and not use it for 2.5 years like they did.
Let's get our Perth Bears over there, Clark. You get my Bears
Mate.
Back.
Get whatever you want. I've still got beef with WA. I've still got COVID beef. You wouldn't let people in, wouldn't let people out. I'm like, man, you could go to New York, but you couldn't go to Perth. Give me a break. So I've still got my, I don't care if they get nothing at the moment.
The things you look
I'm not on. Going there, put it that way, by choice.
What we know now, like 2 weeks in quarantine for perfectly healthy people.
Mate, you could fly to New York easier from Sydney than you could fly to Western Australia. Mm. What a joke.
Yep, no doubt about that. Now, Clarkey, also, back page of the Australian here, Test Series being pushed around by white ball game. Now, the Future Tours program came out yesterday for the next 4 years for Australia. I mean, let's just face it. The ICC, everything is now prioritised towards T20 / franchise cricket, if you include the 100, if you want to call that cricket over there in England at the moment. Everything is just being moved to the side, international cricket, to create massive windows for these competitions, which I'm convinced will have long-term horrendous implications for international cricket, and therefore what does that mean for cricket as a whole? Where do players make their names? Just a reminder of that. But I'll give you one example of the madness. So, and I know we're going ahead here. So this is the 2026-27 summer, and think if you're a broadcaster, how much you're going to want this. So Australia plays against Afghanistan, a test at home in August in 2026. Then we go to South Africa, September, October. Then we come home and we play 3 tests and 3 1-days there. Then we
who
come
do we
home.
Play? Who do we play? Oh, is that South Africa? 3 tests, 3 1-days?
Yeah, that's September, October in South Africa.
Okay.
Then we come home November, December. So this is our prime
our summer. Yep.
Summer. We play England in, 3 1-days and 5 2020s. Then we have a test series, a 3-match test series against New Zealand, December, January. So the Boxing Day test, against New Zealand.
Two tests, three tests against
three
New Zealand.
Three tests. Okay. That's our major series that summer.
Number
three
one
tests
in the world.
Then we go to India in mid-January and play five tests in India, mid-January, February.
It's going to be
because they want it all done for the IPL to start in March
April,
over there.
Yeah, end of March, yep.
Then we come back in March. In March in Australia.
Don't tell me we're playing test matches.
And play two test matches against Bangladesh.
Token.
Okay, what a joke.
So the IPL players won't be playing those two test matches either.
No. So the ICC, so let's just start writing the obituary for international cricket because no one cares.
I think what we're seeing happening is the countries are going to prioritise test cricket against Australia, India, England, and maybe South Africa. Those four countries, test cricket will matter. The rest, it's just fading away. You're putting test matches on in the middle of winter. You're putting one test here, two tests there. Players will pull out because the IPL will be on. Like those test matches against Bangladesh in March. Players will be playing. They'll choose IPL over playing test cricket for their country.
Well, that's you know, where it'll get to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is the thing. Like, we're talking about it in golf. We've seen it in cricket for over 10 years. Unfortunately, you know, there's only going to be, you know, a couple of test match series. Like, even the fact we're now going to a five test series against India continues to show the importance of that country. 90% of the income in our game comes through India. You can probably add more to that now because of the IPL. You know, they own the game of cricket, and the ICC is in, they've got no choice. Mm. You know, they're just sitting in a place where, like, IPL says all players should be available for the IPL. It's the only domestic tournament in the world on the planet where international cricket stops. Because if it doesn't, players are not going to play for their country. Mm. And we're about to see it with Australia for we've seen players pull out of one day series or 2020 series and choose the IPL, Australian players already, or sorry, domestic, like we've got Shield cricket on. And for the first time, I think last year, the year before, players were saying, I'm going to play in the IPL. Now we're going to go to the next level. They're going to be choosing IPL over representing Australia in test matches against Bangladesh. Mm. So I think it's delaying the inevitable. It's always going to happen. How they find room for all these domestic competitions, I don't know. Unless they wipe international T20s. Don't have international T20s. Just make room for the domestic tournaments and then just have a T20 World Cup. That's what they probably should do. But I don't know how we sustain 2020 internationals, one-day internationals, test cricket, and all of these domestic competitions where BBL wants all the international players. South African 2020 wants all the international players. The 100 that's going on right now wants all the international players. There's not enough days in the year. So players will now start making choices, unfortunately, I think, based on dollars.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. We've got Josh Reynolds coming up shortly. He's back home.
Joshy boy, he's back in Sydney.
Yeah.
Is he signed with the Dogs yet? Surely.
No. Unless he has in the last, I don't know, 10 hours.
If he's back home, I want to catch up with him.
Well,
I haven't seen him for ages.
Right. You, of course, weren't here last week. No. So there was a story Fox Sports broke saying that he was the Dogs looking to get him back for next year. And
unreal.
Josh told us last week he was sitting there at a pool in some exotic location. I forgot where at the time. And his phone just started going ballistic.
Media.
He knows nothing about it.
Yeah, okay. Oh, fingers crossed. I reckon
conversations
that would be
yet. So.
Well, I think he's also made it clear that would be a dream come true for him if he could finish back at that club. So let's hope for everyone's sake that they find a way.
Yeah, I think he's still got a lot to offer, Joshy. So.
And he'd be good at the... Surely even like him knowing what that team was like when they were at their best or when they were very good.
Yeah.
His personality, he's made it clear he's happy to play if it's at 14 role, whatever it is, like Benji Marshall did for the Rabbitohs.
Well, I think
surely
that's the role
there's a spot for him.
Most teams would want him in, and I think, you know, he's a good fella to have around, good
beauty.
Professional, brings the blokes together. So I reckon that'd be a fantastic role for him.
Do you reckon he was happy he wasn't playing against Corey Norman the other day?
Well, it depends. If Corey's going to grab him on the butt, probably. I would have been happy not to play against Corey Norman as well. Mate. Leave my butt out of this.
Is he listening to this? Can we go to him? What a shame that intro is redundant.
He's not got the Australian national anthem.
He's back.
Welcome home, mate.
Oh, hello, boys. How are we?
Yeah, good, thank you. It's not a bit less friendly time frame for you now, isn't it, this slot? How does it feel to be home?
I like it, mate. I like it nice up and early and actually got something to look forward to now, mate. So, yeah, no, it's nice, mate. The old jet lag isn't great, but other than that, it's been good.
When did you get home, mate?
I got home two days ago, mate, about 6 a.m., so... I've fought it, and then yesterday it sort of hit me. I had a couple of little naps and whatnot, but actually went down to Canterbury Races yesterday, Arvo, just to have a look at the track. It was a massive crowd, about 5 people there on a Wednesday, and me. But no, it was good to get back there, and it was good to see the races because it's not really a betting culture over in the UK. Like even when you go to the pubs and stuff, you just can't really have a bet there, so it was nice to actually use a tab machine.
Well, if you listened to the show yesterday, mate, you would have heard me give you 2 winners.
At Canterbury.
At Canterbury yesterday, mate.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. I got told about them too, Loz. Silly by me.
Yeah, Silly, Star Sparks and Hell I Am.
Did you give us Hell I Am?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
I remember you gave Star Sparks.
Yeah, but then I had to go to another race. You told me to go to another race. And no, I went to Hell I Am, Johnny O'Shea. Okay. So there you go.
Look, I'll just let you have it.
It's 2 in the one day. But no big surprise there. Big surprise. I'm on a roll, Josh. I'm on a roll.
Are you, Loz?
I am. 3 multis in a row, mate.
3 in a row?
Yes.
Oh, do you want his autograph, Josh?
I was just about to say, I better not back the next one, because I'll tell you what, there won't be 4 in a row.
No, they will be. Stay solid, brother. Stay
professional
solid.
Professional gambler. Yeah.
Tell us what Corey Norman was thinking, Josh.
Oh, well, yeah, well, it's funny because I listened probably a couple of minutes before I come on the show, and where it led to just before I got on, I was like, really? Like, that's what really we're going to talk about straight away. But yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there, you know. Like, all I was thinking now is, I suppose for all these years, it's been called the Hopper, but is it called the Norman now?
The Norman.
Is it changed? Is it?
I don't know how he doesn't break his finger trying to get inside the shorts and speedos. It's got to be can't be safe for the finger, that.
Nah.
Like,
nah,
you try and put your finger through your T-shirt and see how you go.
I thought he must have known him. I thought
smiling.
He was a mate of his, just as a G up.
Mate,
you know, like a
hang on a second. How good a mate do you have to be?
I'm just trying to picture why he would put his hand there.
If he's your mate, you can give him a bit of a pat on the bum cheek, but go easy on the.
Well, that's
know?
Exactly right. Well, I thought it was on the cheek.
Anyway,
8 weeks on the couch.
Yeah, I don't reckon he'd mind being 8 weeks on the couch in Toulouse, to be honest. So he's probably not. Not
does that. It affect him next season, though, Josh? Like, they've had a horrible year. Does he? And he's off contract. What happens with him now, you reckon?
Yeah, I'm not too sure, Clarkie. I think, well, it looks like they're going to get relegated. So they'll probably go back down. And, yeah, I'm not too sure. A lot of the boys that do go over there, I know it's in their contract. If they do get relegated, they don't want to go on next year.
Okay.
Because I think once they get relegated, it might not be full-time and... I'm not too sure how it works, but I can't imagine it'd be too good for him for next year, Clarkie. But I suppose he probably just went over there for a little, because he was only there for half a season.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what I mean, he probably just went over for a little trip half the time too with his missus or whatever. So, yeah, not too sure.
Loz, you could say, you could call it the Morton Norman.
Oh, I missed that word.
Oh, it's back. It's never left us.
Oh, yeah, I like
favorite.
It.
It is my favourite word.
Where are you at, buddy? Any updates on a club or speaking to the Dogs or speaking to your manager? Any updates for you personally?
So, mate, I was actually meant to meet George, my manager, yesterday, mate. But sadly, George is really close. With Paul Green, he was one of his good mates and he managed him for a long time. So I'm just giving him a bit of time, mate. Yeah. To be honest, it's obviously a very, very sad time for everyone involved. And I know they were really close, mate. So really sad to hear that. But for me, myself, mate, it's, I just wanted to come back and see George first and then sort of go from there. But yeah, mate, my intentions haven't changed. I'm still still want to throw the boots on next year, and I suppose see what's out there, mate. So I'll probably just come back, Larky, and you know, just I suppose start training myself, just so I can keep on top of things, and then yeah, see what comes about, mate.
Where do you do that, buddy? So you say, you know, obviously you want to make sure you're in good shape, assuming you get an opportunity to jump back into a preseason. But do you train at a local gym? Do you go and train at a certain club with your connections, whether it be at the Bulldogs, at the Tigers? Do you speak to someone there to use their facilities, or what do you do?
Yeah, Clarky, for weights and stuff, I just go down to the local gym.
Yeah,
I know a few blokes down there. They're happy to have me there, but probably for like the running type of stuff, I like to have someone one on one, because you know, especially with my body and stuff, like I always want to go, you know, pretty hard at if I go down to the park or whatnot. But you just got to warm into it, just because I haven't done anything for a while. I just can't go hell for leather and go breaking me back straight away. But mate, I'm actually staying at Mum's in Belmore at the moment, so I might just go down and run at the back paddock and see if they're watching me. You know what I mean? I might just go start. You know what I actually might do? Because I want to work on my kicking game, so I might just go watch Burnham through the little hole at Belmore and then go and practice them out the back and see if anyone's watching.
Just stick the mask on, say you're doing it for COVID, yeah, and just find top right corner of the grandstand.
You know what I can picture you doing? Like John Travolta in Greece, Denny Zuko on the training track, you know, when he's trying to impress. He starts, he's got the stride going, and then they have a bit of a look, and he starts to get quicker and quicker, and then he falls over and then jumps up and goes, what's happened? What's going on? I can imagine you doing that around Belmore.
Yeah. Oh, no, they'll be like, mate, we get the point. You want to be here. Just give us a bit of time.
Josh, Cameron Serraldo announced as the next Dogs coach for 5 years. So what do you make of the appointment? Have you had to do much of anything with Cameron across your footy journey? I guess you would have played against him at various points.
Yeah, mate, I haven't actually had anything to do with him. I did play against him. I was actually a bit nervous the other day when they announced him, because I was like, gee, I hope I didn't do anything to him on the field. You know, like I said, he's probably going to be like, nah, no way, he's no chance here. But No, from all reports, Mido, I'm just like everyone else. I hear things of people, and you hear things in the media, and you know, I know someone like Gus wouldn't just be getting anyone there for especially a 5-year deal. So one thing I do, you know, really think is a big thing, that all the Panthers boys are sort of coming out and saying that they're really going to miss him. Said that he was a bit of a father figure to a lot of those boys there, and yeah, I just think he's, well, I've heard he's very tactical and he's very good with people, and for me, I think that's what, you know, all the best coaches I've ever had are, you know, they're people persons, and you know, everyone's different. However, you know, how everyone gets a spray is different, and you know, how to deal with everyone is different. So I'm sure if he does that and he's got the brain behind it, it'll be great for the Dogs.
What have you made of the Kalyn Ponga and Kurt Mann situation over the last couple of days, mate?
Yeah, it's obviously not a great look, Loz. You know, I've heard people come out and say, you know, why is Ponga going out, and he's with the concussion protocol. But for me personally, with that side of it, I don't think it's too bad. Like in the sense of, you know, Ponga being out with concussion, whatever, it's, people should be saying, oh, he should be off the drink, and look, he probably has been told to be. I'm not too sure there, but he's not going to sit at home on the weekend and do nothing for, you know, for the whole season and whatever, even though the Knights would probably want him to do that. But yeah, it definitely hasn't been the greatest look for them two boys. And but even with, I'm not too sure with the testing, the target testing, I don't think that's completely fair.
Can I ask, mate, can they target test?
Well, you know, with all this testing and whatever laws, it's always...
I know the clubs can, but I just didn't know whether ASADA or, you know, the game could target test. That's all.
So
I didn't.
Is that who has tested them? Has it been ASADA or has it been the NRL?
No, it was the NRL.
Yeah, I'm see, so that's...
pretty sure.
I don't... Yeah. Oh, well, that's the thing, Loz. Because I think the RLPA have come out and said something about it, haven't they? Have they said that, you know, that they shouldn't be able to just come and test those two boys?
Yeah, because I was only going back to sort of when I played. I remember they'd have to have someone from the club in the room, and they'd draw your name out of a hat, basically, they couldn't sort of come in and go, we want to target X, Y, and Z.
Well, that's still how it happens. I'm not sure about the draw out of a hat, but I know whenever the NRL have come, it's just a random list of players, and same with the SADA, and then they just tell you on the day, and then you just go and do what you got to do. But I've never heard of it. I've never heard of, I've never been told that, you're getting done tomorrow, because I'm sure how that's happened or whatever, or the Knights have just. Obviously, the Knights and the NRL have probably come to an agreement that, if the boys wanted to clear their name or whatever, they said, yeah, no worries, come in and do it. But at the same time, if they start doing that, it just changes the whole aspect of everything, doesn't it? Anyone can just be done at any time, and whether you're told or not told or whatever. So, I don't necessarily like that, to be honest, because in the end, it's just changing the rules or changing the goalposts whenever you want. But at the same time, I know they want to keep all that stuff out of the game and whatever. So there's going to have to be talks with the RLPA and the NRL and, to get it in concrete what the actual rules are.
Josh, on the park, the Roosters and the Bunnies are flying at the moment. Now, in 2014, your Dogs finished seventh and had a great run through the semi-finals to make that grand final against Souths. And you were in the game up until about, the 70th minute or so. But... do you genuinely think anyone outside the top four can win the comp, can beat a Penrith in a grand final the way this season is tracking at the moment, the form of some of these sides in the back half of the eight?
I right now, Mido, I definitely do. If you asked me that 4 weeks ago when Penrith were flying, when they didn't lose Cleary and Luai, and, the way they've been playing at the moment, I would have said no, but I think everything's changed a bit now. Everyone's sort of said, Cleary and Luai are going to be rested and, their minds are going to, be rested and it's going to be good for them. And you know what? It might be. They might come back and just hit the ground running. And they're probably two players who could probably do that. But I think when you're out for that long, even though you have played together for a very, very long time, you don't have much time to get back to where you want to be. And, they might come back and they might drop a game with them in there. Then their confidence is not gone, but, they're wondering, what's going on? But you got someone, as you said, like the Roosters or South, more for me, South at the moment, who are just rolling. And Latrell is just in an absolute mood at the moment. I haven't seen him like this in a long time, form-wise. He seems to be happy. Things aren't really getting to him as much as they used to. Like, I think in the games a lot last, back when he was having those few little injuries and whatever, a few blokes get under his skin and he was taken to it. But now he just seems to be just setting the game alight and just worrying about winning and, him and Cody are flying. So, mate, I think it's an open race now. I really do. And, another one for me at the moment is the Cowboys. I just don't, they're up there at the moment, but I'm just not sure if they can, win the big games. As you've seen last week against the Roosters side, who just played tough and come over them in the top. So it's going to be a great final series. I'm actually really excited to see who's going to take it out, but it'll be very interesting towards the back end.
Mate, we'll let you go. We appreciate your time this morning, bright and early.
Thanks, boys.
And we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, boys. See you soon.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. There's advice and tips to get you started. They even have a colour selector and window planning tool, plus free online quotes returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. Go to www.wideline.com.au. Now, Nick Kyrgios has just been beaten in 50 minutes by Taylor Fritz in the second round of the ATP event there in Cincinnati, 6-3, 6-2. So I haven't seen any blow-ups, but all of a sudden, just a tough defeat there for Nick when he seemed to be sailing along so well as he edges towards...
Sore knee.
A tilt at the US Open. Sore knee, you reckon? Patella tendon. He's holding his knee there.
Patella tendon. Yeah. Injured.
That's your professional diagnosis?
I'm a physio.
Beauty.
Bit of a sore knee. Didn't want to do any extra damage. Took the loss. He'll be right. Give him a week.
Fritz is a very good player, to be fair. emerging star.
You see it on his reality TV show, Nicky Boy.
Yeah.
He'll know, find out the truth.
I reckon you'll watch it.
Yeah, of course I will.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, of course.
I'd watch it.
I don't, yeah.
I think it'd be massive. I know people don't like him, but I reckon people watch him.
Yeah. Oh, that, the tennis series that tennis up on series, Netflix, but if he had a docker, very popular.
Man, if he had his own reality TV show, you'd watch it as well. It. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It'd be massive, I reckon, just to find out what he's doing.
He's 12 months.
We're going to try and get him on the program.
He's due to come on this. Well,
he's got no tennis for the next couple of weeks anyway. He's out of this tournament, so I'm sure we'll get him on.
We've got an in.
Yes, we do, don't we?
Yeah.
So I've got an in.
So I'll be able to lean on my
source
and see whether he can line him up for us.
Nah, get him on for sure. That's the other thing. The more he wins, the more this other stuff off the field will just fade away.
Exactly right.
People will accept a lot more if he keeps winning.
Yeah.
It's John McEnroe, eat your heart out.
He's a good player. He's a good player.
If he can just get, keep playing the way he's playing, keep winning major tournaments, have success, he'll get away with a lot more.
And when we get him on, Middo will suck right up.
Yeah, Middo's.
Oh, mate, you're number one.
You'll suck. I've been on Nick Kyrgios.
Oh, please.
I have. What, I've been a big supporter of his.
Oh, that'll do me.
You haven't.
I have drifted.
Oh, g'day, Nick. How are you, mate? Well done. Hey, geez, you're going well. I think you'll win the US Open. Well done, Nicky boy. I can see you now.
Can we get Cameron Smith on the same day as well? Yeah. Rugby league Cameron Smith.
Yeah, big toughy beyond.
Your favourite, hey? Middo.
As soon as he comes on, you do that. Oh, mate. Nick Kyrgios. Thanks for coming on the program.
What an amazing 12 months it's been. Mate.
Jeez, you've done a lot of work off the court lately.
So not a good morning for the Aussies in round two at Cincinnati. Taylor Fritz beating Nick Kyrgios 6-3, 6-2. And the seventh seed, the Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime beating Alex de Minaur by the same scoreline, 6-3, 6-2. Overnight in the cricket, Pup, South Africa sent England in. Rain-affected day at Lord's. Play ended quite early, 32 overs bowled, but South Africa justified their decision because they've got England 6 for 116. As Ollie Pope, 61 not out, the only shining light. In fact, the only other player to reach double figures was Ben Stokes, who made 20. And the South African quicks went well. Norcha, 3 for 43, Rabada 2 for 36, and Jansen 1 for 18, the tall left armer. So South Africa on top there, you would say. It's very much a rain-affected day one at Lord's.
Yeah, well, about a heat wave. Put a game of cricket on, you'll find rain anywhere. It just always seems to be the case. But good start by South Africa. Gutsy, winning the toss and bowling, but obviously a bit of overhead conditions, clouds around, bit of rain forecast. So yeah, they'll really want to knock England over for sort of that 160-180, and then hopefully the sun comes out and bat well for in your first innings. But yeah, I think you always know when you go to England, you're gonna have days like this. There's just gonna be enough movement, certainly on a day one pitch, bit of swing, you nick it and you get bowled out for not too many. But yeah, if England can scratch something over 200, that's what they're going to want to do. So that's really going to rely heavily on Ollie Pope to go on and make 100.
The teams these days, like the old days, well, I'm assuming the old days, or was it just the Australian mentality of batting first? But does it seem now more teams bowl?
Well, I think you look at your strengths, yeah. I think, to me, when Mark Taylor, for example, captained versus Steve Waugh captained, they saw it very differently. Tubby, as an opening batter, always thought if they could put any runs on the board, the easiest way for Australia to win was to rely on Shane Warne and Glenn McGrath, for example. He had the faith in his bowlers that whatever we had on the board, we can bowl the opposition out. So that was his main reason for always batting first. Tugger saw things a little bit different. I think he probably more went for, let's see what conditions are like, because we do have a good bowling attack, but we've also got a very good batting attack. So he was a little bit different. So I think it just depends on what your captaincy style is, but more importantly, what's the strength of your team?
Yeah.
If you feel like your bowlers are your strength, then you
take
want
advantage
you,
of the
you
conditions.
And for Australia, we had, the greatest spinner of all time. So you want him bowling when the pitch is at its worst for batting or hardest for batting because the ball is going to spin. So that's probably what Tubby's thoughts were. But yeah, you probably do see more often these days.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Root for England, he was happy to bowl first. He was happy to send teams in and bowl first, you know, when he was captain. So it really just varies on, like I say, what your strength is as a team, but also what sort of captain you got.
Jamie Rogers, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. Boys, Ruby Kisser's race yesterday at Canterbury. I know you had Josh on just before saying he was out there. I missed her in person. She was racing at 4:30.
She ran second too, JRC.
She did.
Coming up the fence.
Yeah. So did you back her, Loz?
I didn't, no.
Well, she I thought she did really well, but she always does try really hard, and she certainly gave it everything yesterday. So finished second, as you said, behind Twilight Affair, and I thought that Ellen Hennessy, who was on board her, did a brilliant job. So it was great. She hasn't been brilliant this campaign, I must say, this preparation, but third start, she was pretty good yesterday.
Oh, good stuff, JR. So we'll track her. Is she going to have another run or go to the paddock? What's the plan? Any idea?
We haven't heard anything yet. We'll get a report today from Gerald Ryan, no doubt, with a rough idea of what to do with her next. She's only had three starts. Well, this preparation,
oh, okay,
she's had,
so
yeah.
Okay.
She's had a 17-week spell, and then this was her third start back.
Okay. Ready to peak next time.
Yes, yes, I hope so. I mean, look, she's done well. You just want your horse to pay their way, and she's certainly doing that. So very happy with Ruby. Guys, LeBron James, it came out this morning, he has signed a 2-year extension to stay on at the Lakers. So this contract of his is now going to take his career earnings to more than $700 million, and that doesn't include sponsorships and that sort of stuff. But he's the highest earning player in the history of the NBA. So he's set to stay at the Lakers for another 2 more years, and just on there, the NBA unveiled the schedule for the upcoming season, and they will open the season on Wednesday, October 19, with the Golden State Warriors, who, of course, will get their rings, and also the 76ers will face the Celtics. So still a few months away, though, boys, before the season tips off.
But I'm sure the Lakers will still have Russell Westbrook, and they'll still be ordinary.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Surely Russell Westbrook has to bounce back from one of his worst seasons ever, I think. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him.
Yep, great stuff, Dave. We'll check in again soon. G'day, Gowie.
Yeah, morning, fellas.
Now, the World Series of Darts is coming, what, the Wollongong Friday and Saturday. Are you going?
Yeah. We're in town for the last week, actually, and Gillian Price got beaten by Michael Van Gerwen. So I've been covering the darts for Fox for this will be my seventh year, and it got quite into it. If you've never been before, go.
I've been before, mate.
Yeah, you come 1 year and down at, I think, Star.
Yeah.
We're in that time, and it's an amazing night, actually. They're pretty much sold out down in Wollongong. There's only a few tickets left for Friday night. So 4,500 people, they all get dressed up, they drink. The players are, you know, the best.
The players play. Drink while darting?
Some of them.
No, they don't play.
No, they?
Are you allowed to?
I think they can.
What do you mean? You're allowed to be professional and drink? Look at Ponga. It's professional.
They do before they play, and they have a belly full before they play in the players' room.
Hang on. You can get blind before you play.
I think they
you have to. Yes.
Oh.
Some of them can't throw. Gary
sober. You can't throw sober.
Gary Anderson is a 3-time world champion. He tried it a few years ago and tried to get a bit fitter and got off the drink, and he couldn't hit the dartboard, so he got back on the drink and started winning again. So yeah, they have plenty before they play. There's
love
eight dartboards set up in the players' room, and they warm up. It takes them about 3 hours to warm up. They get out there and get into it. But it's great fun. And we've got eight of the best players from the Oceania section, which is, you know, Simon Whitlock, who we all know, who got through last week, got through to the semi-final, got beaten by Gerwen Price in the end. But another guy, Jordan Mathis, he got through to the semi-finals went close, but no cigar in the end, and end up two best players in the world playing off in the end. So this week will be interesting because Gerwen Price got very upset when Michael Van Gerwen beat him and sort of stormed off stage. So because he'd been beaten twice. He'd been beaten the world match play the week before. So he's upset. But those two fire up in the event and in the final will be interesting to see.
I didn't know what I was getting myself in for, Gowie, when I went to the darts tournament. But I must say, I really enjoyed it. Regardless whether you like darts or not, just the atmosphere in the room that it creates is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just, Yeah, you know, and they're exceptional what they do, right? They, you know, they hit triples and doubles at the right time, and there's actually a bit of, there's more than that. There's a strategy to what they do, and they're quite incredible. I don't think you call them athletes, but I think you do, because it's all a bit of a mind game with them. But the atmosphere is incredible. If you've never done it, try it. It is incredible.
Now, the Corn Ferry Tour. Who's got the chance of taking this out, Gowie?
Yeah, well, this is interesting. Now, this changed a few years ago on the tickets they give out to the PGA Tour. So the top 25 of normal years play is done. And young Harrison Endicott, well, he's 26 years of age now, from the Avondale Golf Course in Sydney, coached off Ben Patterson, who he's been coached from him for years. He's done it the tough way, this young fella, and he got over to the US. He went and played the Latin American tour for a couple of years, sort of flew under the radar, and now he's got a US tour card. You know, he's done it the tough way. He's worked his way to the PGA Tour. He deserves every bit he gets. He's got a great story. He's a funny bastard. So he's got his tour card. We've got four Aussies actually there this week. They now have a three-week playoff. Now, I think this is better than watching the PGA Tour playoff, because these guys are playing for a ticket to get into the tour next year, where these guys who are playing the top 70, playing the BMW, they're playing just for a bucket load of money. You know, they've secured their cards and their PGA rights for next year. The guys in the Corn Ferry for these next three events are playing for their livelihood, basically. We've got Anthony Quayle, who plays it normally up in Japan. Aaron Baddeley is a regular. Obviously, Jason Scrivener. And Minwoo Lee, who tried his hand on the US Tour through invite this year and didn't play so well. Played well at Augusta, played well at a couple of events, but didn't get a card through the way he was trying to get it through invite. So if he plays well in the next three events, he'll have a tour card. So, you know, if you're watching any event this week, I think that's the event to watch on TV.
Gowie, we've got an update on Cam Smith. How's his injury, firstly? And have we heard any more about him signing or not signing with this LIV Tour?
Oh, well, I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's signing with the LIV Tour. Everything points towards that. He hasn't said it himself. You know, he actually said that, you know, with any announcements, he'll make it himself, not no one else. But no, he has pulled out this week. You know, I think he was unfairly, judged last week with his ruling that they gave him a two-shot penalty after the fact. The next day, an hour before he was supposed to play, they gave him a two-shot ruling from the day before, which they'd already passed. Said, yeah, we think it's okay. And then they come back and reviewed the tape and said the ball was touching the hazard line. He hit the ball into the water. He took a drop, rolled back. And it was sort of touching the red line. Now, you have to take full relief. You have to have the ball, you know, completely out of the hazard or the penalty area. And it obviously wasn't, or the ruling was right. I think the ball was touching the line. Cam went and played the ball. But they come back an hour before he played on, you know, day four when he's in contention. You know, that just shouldn't happen. If you've looked at it once, a bit like the video refs on rugby league, if you look at it, you should know what you're looking at. Everybody else sees it. And I think the PGA Tour didn't do themselves any justice there by the way they handled that. It's possibly, the way they handle it is possibly a bit of a dig, you know, because he's heading to the LIV Tour, which I thought was disgraceful. But on the other side of Cam Smith, he hit a guy in the hand and the guy was holding the mobile phone. Cam went up, gave him his number, said, mate, give me a ring, I'll send you a new phone. And to his credit, the little Queenslander, he sent him a brand new upgraded phone a day later.
What about the BMW Championship this week, mate?
Yeah, 70 players in there. We've only got four Aussies, Adam Scott, Mark Leishman, Herbert and Cam Davis. He's been playing exceptionally well, Cam Davis. You haven't heard of him because he's finishing top 10s and top 20s, but so regularly in contention. I like John Ram this week. He finished tied fifth. He led the greens in regulation last week. He didn't hole any putts. It's only a matter of time until he gets his confidence to hole putts. He's only $13, but I tipped Adam Scott as the best Aussie last week. He finished tied fifth. And I keep tipping him because he's just getting, you know, it just looks like he's about to win. He's my roughie at $41. I think he wants to win. He hasn't won all year. No idea if he's going to win two or not. But, you know, if he is, he wants to go out with a bang, I think.
Okay, so Gowie's tips, John Rahm, $13 with Tab, and his roughie's Adam Scott, $41, or he's the $2.50 favourite in the top Aussie market. Thanks so much, Gowie.
Thanks, fellas.
Adam Pengilly coming up shortly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Now, pretty big story in regard to the Melbourne Storm, broken by the Courier-Mail last night as well. Cameron Munster has rejected the club's latest offer, and he's set to test the open market. And Brayden Astor then on NRL 360 on Fox League confirmed it is most likely that they'll go to the market November 1. However, he was at pains to point out things could change between now and then. But when you look at the figures, apparently around $800,000 a year has been offered by the Melbourne Storm, and he could command upwards of $1.3 million at the Dolphins, $500,000. I mean, that's big money in anyone's language. I did listen to one thing Anasta said last night. He said, well, the Storm, and he used the word prioritised, Jerome Hughes, Harry Grant, Ryan Pappenhausen. So you just get the feeling that, and I can understand that, they're going, well, okay, you've gone and signed those guys, and this is all that's left in your salary cap, so we're going to test the open market. Yeah. So,
but they're probably thinking, we can keep three, but if we sign Munster, we can only keep two. That's what Melbourne would be thinking. Mm. And now they're trying to keep Cameron there. Cameron's entitled to earn as much as he can. And I think the attraction of going home on top of the amount of money that the Dolphins will have to offer will be too hard to pass up. And I think he's always made it clear that he wants to go home and live in Queensland. So I think it will be a no-brainer that he is a marquee player for the Dolphins and go and work under Wayne Bennett.
100%.
And again, he's given everything to the Melbourne Storm. It's Melbourne Storm's priority to prioritise their players. And I'm sure they'd love to keep Cameron. But unfortunately, if you've got four really good players and you've got to try and fit as many of them in a salary cap as you possibly can, and you can get three of the four rather than two of the four, that's probably a business decision that they've made.
Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
How was the NRLW launch yesterday?
Yeah, it was good. It was actually my first time, Jared, being inside the new Allianz Stadium. Had a bit of a peek around and looks impressive, I must admit. Probably just a bigger version of Bankwest, but obviously a shiny new stadium with 40-odd thousand seats. So can't wait to see the first game being played there in a couple of weeks' time when the Dragons and the Roosters play NRLW, followed by the Roosters and Souths in the big NRL clash later in the evening. There should be a bit righty on that game, you would think. It was probably going to be a top four implications potentially, or even the Roosters trying to maintain their spot in the top eight. So, yeah, it was a good NRLW launch yesterday. Those teams are ready to go this weekend for the start of the competition, and can't wait to see it get going.
Talking some racing, and what do you make of the barrier draw for the Winx Stakes? And the other thing about this race I've noted is Hugh Bowman's chosen Fangirl over Forbidden Love. Surely he would have had the option, wouldn't he, between those two?
Yeah, would have thought so, Jared. So Fangirl, I think, is one of my horses to follow for the spring. I really like the progression in the autumn. I know she started in the last start of the campaign, but she's a horse, so I definitely want to follow all throughout the spring, whatever type Chris Wallace sort of aims for her later in the campaign. Obviously, most of the talk, Jared, has been about Animo in Barrier 1. A little bit sticky, barrier draw, given a lot of the speed drawn to the outside, but there are a lot of horses in this race who want to get over further, obviously, later in their campaigns, and are genuine backmarkers. So I'm still expecting him to posse up somewhere midfield there on the fence. He'll probably need the brakes at some stage in the straight, obviously, given he's going to be hemmed towards the inside, but I don't think the barrier draw is as bad as what it might have been initially on paper, but he's getting out to probably his right price now, isn't he, Jared, around that $2.80, $2.90 mark. He was very, very skinny, I thought, earlier in the week in all-in markets. It's just a matter of trying to find a horse to beat him. If you think he's vulnerable first up, I obviously think he's probably a tad vulnerable first up. I think he's better form as a four-year-old be over a mile and 2,000 metres. I'd imagine that all roads are leading towards Cox Plate. He's got to try and find something to beat him there on the weekend.
When do we see the Everest given Group 1 status, mate?
Yeah, Loz, you can set your clock to this debate, isn't it? It always sort of pops up around this time of year. And I'm a believer that it should have Group 1 status. It's cemented itself as probably easily the best sprint race in the country and probably the best sprint race in the world. I know it's racing politics that prevents it from happening, but I'd like to think in the next 6 to 12 months that the states can sit down and really have a look at this pattern and work out what our best races are and what should be Group 1. So I've been on the record before, boys, with you guys saying that we've got 73, 74 Group 1 races. That is far, far too many Group 1 races, in my opinion. If I'm being really harsh, a race like the Wink Stakes, I don't think should be a Group 1 this week, because it's a kickoff point for a lot of horses. They want to get over 2,000 metres and beyond later in their campaign. So the same goes for the Memsey Stakes down there at Caulfield in a couple of weeks' time. But I do think the Everest deserves to have its Group 1 status now. Whether that happens or not this year, I highly doubt it, obviously, but hopefully get something in place for next year and the years beyond.
Oh, how many shows could we do on the rating program? Seriously.
What a mess. Seriously. We could sit here and talk for hours about it. And we complain about horses, especially colts, going off to stud way too early because they've won their Group 1 and they go off to stud and they retire as three-year-olds. Well, we're the architects of our own demise in that regard because we have so many Group 1 races.
Yeah, you've got to... Exactly. Why have we got 70-odd Group 1 races? Anyway... Don't start me. Blake Shin, he's back in Australia, riding here as well, Saturday.
Yeah, very keen to see how he comes back, Jared. He's always had a bit of a pit stop in Singapore after finishing up in the Hong Kong season. He hasn't ridden in Australia permanently for many, many years now. And I'm very keen to see how he goes down at Moonee Valley, start off his Australian, I suppose, return on the weekend. He did it tough in the first stage of going over there to Hong Kong. He really struggled to get some momentum going, but he stuck it out and he did a really good job. I think he persevered and be really proud of his efforts to hang in there in a really tough jockeys market, which is obviously dominated by the likes of Zach Purton and Joe Moreira. But given Blake's been very open about some of his mental health challenges and the strict lockdowns and bubbles the Hong Kong Jockey Club has placed on all their participants over there throughout all the COVID pandemic and lockdowns, he had to come back to Australia. So I don't know whether he settles long-term in Melbourne or decides to come back up to Sydney and make a fist of it up here, but I'm just great to see him back in Australia. I don't think it'll be too long before we see him riding in the big Group 1 races again.
Looking forward to getting your Group 1 mail tomorrow, mate. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, Jared. See you, boys.